You are listening to the Temple Bible Church Sermon Podcast. Learn how you can be a part of the ministry of TBC by visiting templebiblechurch.org.
Well, good morning again. If you got a Bible, you can open to John chapter 13. And just a couple of things that would touch on. Love Our City, which is one of the best outreach events we do every year. That's October 17th and 18th. I think sign up is open on our website. Great opportunity to serve alongside local partners on a Friday evening, Saturday morning to bless Temple and Belton. And then, of course, baptism again today at 5 p.m. We'll start in our Creekside Commons and then go out to the baptistry to celebrate 15 brothers and sisters who are confessing publicly their faith in Jesus Christ. And last thing is, we are in week three of a series called Belonging, Why Church Matters. Then we're going into a doctrinal series. Typically at TBC, though, we're teaching through a book. So after that eight-week doctrinal series, we will be in the book of Luke throughout kind of the end of 2025 and throughout 2026. So be looking forward to that. Well, today, as we talk about belonging, I want us to begin thinking about it this way. You can sit in a crowd and not belong. You can go to a stadium, you can go to a concert, you can even be in a social media group, and you're part of the group as long as you're there, but when you're gone, no one really misses you. Our world values connection, but it resists commitment. And when we think about community culturally, we want community that costs us nothing. We like authority when we agree with it. That's not belonging. It's really kind of consumerism. And so Jesus, the night before he died, redefined belonging. So he's there with his disciples in the upper room. They've thought that he's going to be the king of Israel who's going to conquer Rome for them. He says, I'm going to conquer something much worse than the Roman Empire. I'm going to conquer sin and death, and I'm going to do that through my death and resurrection. And then this king, Jesus, washes their feet like the lowest servant in culture would. And at the end of that, he says this. He says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all will know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another. This is going to be the mark of my people, your love for one another. How do we love one another? Here's where Jesus makes it hard. He says, as I have loved you. Well, how is he going to love? He's loved them for 3 years, and then he's going to love them and us by going to a cross he doesn't deserve, taking responsibility for sins he didn't commit, offering forgiveness to all those who committed those sins, and raising from the dead to bring all these people who had rebelled against him to God. He says, as I have loved you. It would be like somebody saying, like if George Strait said, sing country music, we go, yes. But if he said, sing country music as I have sang country music. I like to think I can, but whenever I sing in my house, my kids and wife just go, please make it stop, right? So Jesus is calling his disciples and calling us as his disciples to something utterly impossible without his power, love, and wisdom. And what we're going to see today is this love that comes about in us when we belong to the church. Belonging is going to mean loving, serving, and submitting as a family in Christ. See, most of us long for a place where we're not just noticed, but we're truly known. And belonging isn't a crowd we sit in. It's a family we walk with. So we're going to talk about this three ways, that belonging means commitment, belonging means care, and belonging means submission. And we'll have scripture that we kind of launch out of to talk about each of these things. So let's start with belonging means commitment. Belonging means commitment. And the first passage is Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. And the writer of Hebrews has spent chapters explaining the supremacy of Jesus and the supremacy of his sacrifice. And then he says to the church, let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. He wants a people who are committed to one another. So he says, don't neglect meeting together. And the reason you wouldn't neglect meeting together is because love is the mark by which the world will know we're his disciples. Well, we can't love one another if we're not together. The way we've talked about this at TBC, even in founding documents, is walk together in Christian love. Exercise Christian care, concern, and watchfulness for one another. Be thoughtful, be considerate, slow to take offense, and quick to forgive and to seek forgiveness. See, true belonging is not attending an event, but it's committing to a family, and it's a family who will not just be part of the people of God, but will declare the message of God. So first, we don't neglect to meet together, but then second, there's a posture we have toward one another. Colossians chapter 3 talks about. Colossians 3 says, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. If one has a complaint against another, forgive each other as the Lord has forgiven you. How do we forgive? As the Lord has forgiven us, so also you must forgive. And above all these, put on love, because love binds everything together in perfect harmony. Paul's not done. He goes on to say, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you are called in one body, and be thankful. You are called to peace in a world that's ready to divide over anything. We were called to peace in one body. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. See, belonging means commitment. It's committing to a family. Hebrews urges us not to neglect meeting together. Colossians says that we clothe ourselves with compassion. See, we are to stir one another up to love and good works in the world, to be clothed with compassion and kindness and humility. We gather together so that it will change us. Now, church is more than this large group gathering, right? It's more than what happens in Launchpad today. It's more than what will happen in Overflow. It's more than what will happen at Sea Life tonight. It's more than what just happens in grow groups, in grow classes, and in home groups. But it's not less than any of those. We gather together in a variety of ways, and it changes us. Sometimes we treat church like a gym membership. As long as I give $20, it doesn't really matter if I show up every month, right? And it doesn't matter if it changes me. Belonging to a church is not a subscription service. It's a covenant family where your presence and your perseverance matters. We encourage one another. We come alongside, we urge, and we strengthen. If you don't have others alongside you, you might just stay the same, and that wouldn't be good for any of us. I remember this moment where I saw the church shaping my life, because sometimes we're not even aware of how we need to be changed. When I was the missions pastor at TBC, at the end of every year, Gary and Danny would come and visit with us, and they'd talk to us about the year, just do a year in review, ministry and personally. And one year, after I'd been on staff for about 5 years, Gary's talking to me about great things that had happened in TBC missions, and he said, hey, I'm about done, but I want to tell you one other thing. Let me tell you what I notice in you. You're not angry anymore. And I was just kind of dumbfounded, and I said, was I angry? He's like, are you kidding? Ask your wife and kids, right? You didn't know you were angry? No, I didn't know I was angry. He said, man, when you came on staff here, you would blow up at the smallest of things, and you don't anymore. I'm like, huh, I was really happy to hear that. I was really kind of embarrassed. I just didn't even recognize my own sinful tendencies, right? I've been thinking for the last 12 years as to whether or not I should ask my wife and kids, but I haven't yet, right? But see, that we come alongside one another. It happens in home groups. It happens in classes. It happens over meals together. Belonging calls us to be thoughtful, slow to take offense, quick to forgive. Can I just ask you to ask yourself, am I just here to attend, or am I here to belong? Do I really want to be part of this people? Belonging means commitment, not because we've got a law for you to follow, but because Jesus committed himself fully to the Father's will and fully to his people, even unto death. So our commitment flows out of his love for us. We love as he loved us. And that's how the world knows we're his. See, belonging isn't showing up when it's easy, but it's sticking together when it's costly. Belonging means commitment, but it doesn't just mean commitment. Belonging means care. Belonging means care. When we at TBC talk about how belonging means care, a verse that you might hear us in home groups or in leader training talk about a lot, or a passage, is Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. It's on a couple of slides here. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and then to fellowship. See, when we're talking about love, when we're talking about gentleness, when we're talking about humility, it's based on the apostles' teaching. It's not blind acceptance of any way that people live. It's devoted to the apostles' teaching and to the breaking of bread and prayer. They did this in such a way that awe came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together. They were united in Christ, not under some lesser thing. They weren't going to divide over anything but Jesus Christ and him crucified. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, they're attending temple together, breaking bread in their homes. They received their food with glad and generous hearts. Their belonging cost them something. They're praising God, having favor with all the people. And listen, they're living in such a way the Lord added to their number day by day those who are being saved. See, this church cared for one another. People will often say, man, I wish I was alive during the time of the early church. And I will tell you, I don't, for a couple of reasons. One is because they didn't have indoor plumbing, right? The other, though, is that even this church kind of began to huddle together. They didn't scatter. And then a great persecution broke out so that they would scatter. And when they did, there were other churches that were by no means perfect. In Corinth, they were really, really messed up, but they cared for one another and grew toward Christ, so that the second letter Paul wrote looks different than the first letter he wrote. See, this church cared for one another. Another verse that talks about how we ought to care for one another, Paul tells the Galatians in Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You want to live out what Jesus is calling to you in serving one another, caring for one another, forgiving one another, loving one another. You do that through bearing one another's burdens. This word burden describes this heavy, crushing load. And in a room this size, some of us have heavy, crushing loads that have to do with our health. Some of them are heavy, crushing loads that keep us awake at night. Our mind just can't be still. Some of them are heavy, crushing loads that bring us to tears every day. Some of them are children who are hurting, or maybe we're estranged, or maybe it's financial, or maybe it's some variety of other things, but we bear one another's burdens. And when we do, we fulfill the law of Christ, and the world is watching. That's what happened in the second century when the Antonine Plague swept across the Roman Empire. Historians believe maybe it was smallpox. It killed millions of people and left cities in fear. People would just abandon the sick, but Christians stayed, nursing the dying, feeding the hungry, and showing compassion to strangers. because they believed death had been defeated in Christ. They shone like bright lights of hope in the darkest of days, and many came to know Jesus. When the world ran from the sick, Christians ran to them, and the light of Christ could not be ignored. They were living out Galatians 6:2 in real time. Maybe when you hear this, you think about a burden that someone walked with you through. Right, they picked you up and carried you, put them, they walked with you. Maybe today's a day to give a call or write a note or say thank you. And maybe today's a day to say, whose burden can I bear? Who can I walk with? Who do I see that the world might see somebody who's full of dysfunction, but I see somebody who's weighed down, maybe even by their own sin. But by God's grace, I'm going to step up next to them and help bear their burden. Crowds take what they want, but families give what they have. And so belonging means showing up with encouragement, with presence, with help physically, emotionally, and spiritually. At TBC, one of the things that we say we hope our members are doing is endeavoring to provide for the physical, emotional, and spiritual needs of one another. Christ bore our ultimate burden, our sin, so that we can freely bear one another's burdens without fear of being crushed. He conquered our greatest enemy, death. Belonging is not watching from a distance, but it's bearing burdens together. And it's really easy to hear truth and then quickly watch from a distance. See, Jesus says what he says to his disciples, that you love one another as I have loved you. You lay down your life for one another, right? And then just hours later, his friend Peter, all the others, they abandon him. And then Jesus is being falsely accused, and Peter's standing far away by a fire watching and denying that he knows him. Jesus knew it would happen. He says, listen, Satan has demanded to sift you like wheat, but when you've turned again, strengthen your brothers. And Peter would turn again and strengthen his brothers. One of the apostles, an elder of the church, this great Christian man, Peter, was struggling to care. It's easy to stand at a distance. But what Jesus is calling us to is to walk with his people in love, being committed and caring. Belonging means commitment, belonging means care, and then belonging means submission. Belonging means submission. We're going to look at three verses. This is a hard thing to talk about, but it's a good thing to talk about. We're going to look at three passages, rather, and then a couple of other verses to talk about what that means and what it can look like. And we'll start with Hebrews 13, right about verse 17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning. That would be of no advantage to you. So we live in a culture that is just diametrically opposed to the idea of authority. And the writer of Hebrews is saying, submit to your leaders in such a way that they can lead with joy and not groaning. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you to esteem them highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And then in 1 Peter 5, Peter has a word for the elders, and then he has a word for those under their authority. He says, so I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Here's his exhortation. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly. So he tells the people to submit joyfully and elders to shepherd eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge. Don't be domineering. The church in the West has seen so many church leaders be domineering and not be gentle. Peter says you can't do that. be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Why? So that at the proper time he may exalt you. Well, that could be frightening to do. So Peter says, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him, stand firm in the faith, knowing the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brothers all over the world. And after you've suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Well, why elders? Why do we have elders that lead at TBC? By the way, if you want to see who our elders are at TBC, you can go to our website under leadership. There's a picture of every one of them. I would just say, don't open that website in front of kids. Some of their faces scare small children, okay? Why elders? Some churches have a single pastor who kind of serves like a CEO. Some churches have a pastor and deacons. Some churches have something called other than a pastor, and they have certain clothes they wear on Sunday morning or maybe throughout the week. Some churches vote on everything. Maybe you came from a church that did that. Why don't we vote here? And I would kind of tongue-in-cheek say there are a couple of times they voted in the Bible, right? Once they got a golden calf, the other time they voted for Barabbas. That doesn't always go well, right? Here's what I would say to you. The elders that I serve alongside are faithful men with faithful wives who are exercising oversight, not for gain, but eagerly and with humility. We did this last hour. We're going to do it this hour. There are a few elders and their spouses here last hour. There are a few in this hour. If you're an elder or elder's wife at TBC, would you just stand up so we can see who you are? What a blessing to serve. Here's the truth. What you find, if you look at my life and you look at every elder's life, what you'd find is deeply flawed individuals who desperately need Jesus and want to cling to him every day. We will not do what we do perfectly. And anytime you've got a question for us about how we do things, you are welcome to come talk to us. We'd love to sit across the table. We'd love to grab coffee and visit with you. Here's what we do believe, that we're called to shepherd the flock. We're called to shepherd you toward Christ, right? That we collectively would be a sheeple following one Savior. And we're called to guard against false teaching, of which there's many. And we're called to care for you. We're called to care for you. We live in a culture that has made one of the qualifications for being an elder charisma, a really loud voice. That's not going to be us. Here's what the Bible says to us. The saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach. The husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders so that he may not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the devil. See, most of these qualifications, other than able to teach, are really what mature believers would aspire to look like. I want to talk about a couple of these that sometimes the church in the West is ignoring. He must be gentle, not quarrelsome. The reason that this is true in part is because ravenous wolves are going to come in and try to destroy the flock. What happens when a ravenous wolf comes in? Well, first, it's really no surprise. They really like to show you their teeth, right? Second, they are not gentle. They tear apart. And third, wolves come in and they seek to divide. And here's the reality. There's this aim often, even in church culture, even in conservative church culture, to have the loudest voice, to come with a loud bark. If I'm honest, sometimes it sounds more like a chihuahua than a bark. It's just yapping and yapping and yapping, right? It's a loud bark. It seeks to isolate. They're the only way. They're not saying Jesus is the only way. You need to follow me. If your church is doing this, by all means. If your church isn't saying it how I say it, by all means. Listen, these are people discipled by algorithms and not the Bible. So if somebody's not gentle, if they're given to quarrels, we'd let the scripture guide what that church is going to look like. See, belonging isn't horizontal, it's a vertical. And it's difficult because the scripture calls us to trust God to have people who are not by any means perfect and not going to get it right all the time, leading us. Hebrews says, obey our leaders who keep watch over our souls. Thessalonians urges us to respect those who labor among you. Peter says, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. See, every team has a coach. They have coaches and managers and trainers. If every player just ran their own play, the team would collapse. Submission to leadership should make the team stronger than any one star athlete could. That's what's really guided by submit. The word submit in the Greek is a military term. It means to be arranged under. It's soldiers arranged under God's authority. It does not mean blind obedience, but willing alignment under God's design. True belonging is not about control, but about humility and unity and trust. See, here's the reality. We all love the idea of submission when it matches our preferences, right? I will be glad to submit to authority as long as the authority 100% agrees with me and understands I'm always right, right? Me too, right? True belonging in any family requires humility and unity. Submitting together under Christ shows the beauty of Jesus to a watching world. If you study missions much at all, one of the groups you'll hear about pretty quickly is the Moravians. Moravians were responsible for this great move of God, and it started, and you hear about it, with a 100-year prayer meeting. But what you don't hear is the weeks that led up to that prayer meeting. It's less known that they spent weeks repenting, reconciling, and submitting themselves to their spiritual leaders and to one another. Unity through humility was the soil from which mission grew. I am excited that over the last 6 months, and certainly today, people are coming back to church. And in America, you see this kind of shift where people are coming back to church. It's a really good thing, but here's what I would say is there are a lot of people going, well, it's not that revival is coming, revival is here. Well, people coming back to church is really, really good, but it's not revival, right? And I would submit to you that revival will not happen as long as we bite and devour one another and as long as we do not love our enemies. That seems really consistent with the scripture, because I'm quoting the scripture, right? Revival will not happen as long as we bite and devour one another, no matter how sharp someone's dressed or how good they look. If they say revival's here and they're biting and devouring, if they're not loving their enemies, it's a lie from the enemy. See, Jesus submitted to the Father's will even unto death so that we could be forgiven and belong to God and one another. Our submission is not in our own power. It comes from His. But it happens in the context of church, and sometimes it's difficult. I remember one time there was a TBCer who had just decided to step away from obedience to the Lord. Something's very clear in Scripture, just as plain as day, right? And two dear friends came alongside and said, it looks like you and this person are taking trips. It looks like you and this person are taking trips and staying in the same room. It looks like maybe you and this person are taking trips, staying in the same room and doing things that people do when they stay in the same room. And the response was, I hear your concern, but hey, I've talked to Jesus and me and Jesus are okay. And maybe a loving response to that would be, well, according to Jesus, you're not okay with him, right? See, it's love. It's not blind acceptance, but it's love that happens under authority, accountability, and care. What would the church look like if everybody in this room, starting with me, clothed ourselves in humility? What if that's what we wore every day? What if that's what we were dressed up in so people could just see humility dripping off of us? They wouldn't see much of us. They just see the love of Jesus Christ, truth that comes from Him that's not our idea and not about our reputation. See, commitment, care, and submission don't flow from our strength, but from the power that raised Jesus from the dead. Jesus committed himself to us to bring us into his family forever. Jesus cared for us by bearing our greatest burden. And Jesus submitted himself to the will of the Father, even to death on a cross, conquering sin and death, rising from the dead so that we might belong to God and to one another. And because we've received this love, we extend it. We don't belong by earning, but by grace. So we're living evidence of what Christ has done. About 13 years ago, our staff went to New York City. We were talking to a guy who is an expert in apologetics, and someone asked a question about apologetics and the future of apologetics, and he said something like, your life is the future of apologetics. So your life is the defense for your faith, so that collectively together we live this holy love for one another and for the world, and we declare that Jesus is Lord. Belonging to the church means we commit to one another because there's a love that will not let us go. Belonging to the church means that we care for one another. I got to watch someone do this summer through taking meals to people, through praying for people, through sending encouragement of scripture and songs, through blessing people who are suffering. And it's the most beautiful thing that when the world sees it, they don't always understand it, and we have to share. Belonging means commitment and care and submitting together in Christ, in home groups and classes, gathering together to sharpen one another as women and as men, meeting together on Sunday morning to sing and to pray and to study the Word. See, belonging to the church means loving, serving, and submitting as family in Christ. Why? Because our commitment to one another shows that love stays even when it's difficult. Our care for one another shows that love serves. It doesn't just proclaim the message, it lives the message. And submission shows that love is humble. We're not coming to the world with the greatest news ever in pride. We're coming in humility as people who need the message ourselves. All of this points to the love of Jesus Christ, as I have loved you, who gave himself for us. See, when we live like this, we show the world the church is not a crowd to sit in. It's a family to belong to and walk with. So some questions as we close, and maybe you just bow your head and create some space where you can think through these questions and pray through these questions. For the believer, as it relates to commitment, where is God asking you to move from attending to belonging? Is there a way you're just attending and you need to step into belonging? As it relates to care, whose burden can you bear this week? As it relates to submission, who is God calling you to encourage or serve or honor or bless this week? And then a last question, maybe you've come in and you hadn't been to church in a while, or maybe it's your first time here, and maybe you just realized today, I don't know that I've ever just had a life-altering experience of the love of Jesus Christ, and I want what Jesus did in dying for sin and rising from the dead to count for me. I want to know him and trust him. If that's you today, I'd love to talk to you. I know folks at our welcome desk would love to talk with you. There's also opportunity to respond on the seat back in front of you. However God might be leading you, my encouragement to you is to press into God and to press into his people. Because Jesus died to bring us to God, and he died to bring us together. Lord Jesus, we need you. We need you more than we need our next breath. We need you to shape our lives according to your will. We need you to transform us into your likeness. We need to trust you. And we need to love one another. The world needs to see us loving one another. So God, help us to commit to one another and care for one another and submit to one another, and help us to be gentle. In a world given to fighting, help us just to not be. And give us new mercy every day so that we can be conformed into the image of Christ. And help us to be your church that the gates of hell will not prevail against. In Jesus' name, amen.